When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang is here, my co-host and friend. We go to Brussels to Teresa Fallon, who is going to report to us an odd story that's emerging. Ukraine is looking to make a ceasefire leading to a peace with Russia. Therefore, there is reason to believe that the EU, 27 nations, and NATO, 32 nations, will change their approach not only to Russia, but to China. I remind all of us that even during the war, with the No Limits Partnership waved around all the time by the NATO war drummers, even during the war, Olaf Scholz, the Chancellor of all Germany, went not once but twice to Beijing to look for business for Germany. So now that the potential is here for the war to end or ebb or control itself, Teresa, a very good day to you. Is China suddenly on everybody's dance card in Brussels? Good evening.
Good evening, John. That's a very good question. There seems to be a slow thaw. This is in response to the erratic policymaking of the Trump administration. And some have even highlighted that the U.S. is possibly the new enemy of Europe. We saw with J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference, he called out the EU commissars, meaning like a Soviet term, and how they are trying to not promote freedom of speech or control or censor other people. So the Europeans feel that this is a direct attack on EU institutions, and this is a big break from Trump 1.0 from the previous Trump administration. So, and Trump has said the EU was designed to screw America, which isn't really the case, but this is how he sees it. So they feel that there's a war on Europe, and this is something no one had really envisioned before. And that if Europe feels so alienated from the U.S., this idea of joining together as the Biden administration tried to do to bring like-minded democracies work together to constrain China is no longer going to happen. And we'll see, as you pointed out, Scholz had two visits to Beijing during the war in Ukraine. But now we'll see at the end of this month of March, the EU Defense and Foreign Trade Commissioner will be traveling to China. So there's a great deal of interest in what this might mean. The Comprehensive Agreement on Investment, which was brought out in 2021 and has been in the deep freeze since the advent of the MEPs of the European Union, were all several of them from various political parties were sanctioned by Beijing. So that relationship has been in the deep freeze. But now that those meetings have been quietly begun again, even though technically they are still sanctioned. So that it was a case of China alienating Europe when they were trying to actually come up with a free trade agreement. So this is happening quietly. I've been told, I had some interviews yesterday, that European officials and members of parliament are quietly meeting with Chinese officials here in Brussels. So there is a beginning of a thaw. And we also saw Ursula von der Leyen at her speech at Davos. She, in response to the Trump administration's threat of tariffs, said that they had other options, that they could work more closely with China. So I think that this might be coming to fruition at this point.
Gordon, you have a question for Teresa.
Teresa, is there any self-awareness in Brussels about how America feels? I mean, I can understand that they're upset about J.D. Vance's speech because they don't believe in free speech in Europe. But here you have China fully behind Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And here you have a Europe that has absolutely refused up to now to defend itself. Don't they understand that Trump is a little bit concerned that Europe is just completely oblivious when it comes to the threats of an invasion in Europe fueled by a large Asian power?
See, this is the problem. Donald Trump has hit something right on the nail, you could say, is because for 30 years, the Europeans have underspent on defense. And so there is definitely a grain of truth in, you know, that they're cheap riding or free riding, and Europeans will agree to that. And this idea that, now all of a sudden they're pulling together. Well, I'm sorry, the war in Ukraine began 3 years ago. Why didn't they increase defense spending back then? Or even earlier, back in 2014, when Moscow annexed Crimea and had the little green men. So the Europeans never really seemed to be too interested in spending more on defense. And now they're saying, you know, we're going to do this. Do you remember the Zeitenwende that Scholz announced? Well, I would call it the Zeitenwende. Where did that all go? It didn't go very far. So yes, everyone is kind of pulling together, saying we're going to spend, we're going to decouple from the United States. But I think that this is a worrisome development, and this could be kind of something that no one predicted. It's both in Russia and China's interest to weaken the transatlantic relationship. And that is exactly what is happening. So this might be an unintended consequence about Trump's efforts to end the war in Ukraine. The Europeans were very concerned about how Zelensky was treated in the White House. But I agree with you. There seems to be an amnesia about China's support for Russia, and that this war would have ended a long time ago without China's support. So China buys energy from Russia. It also sends necessary parts for weaponry for Russia to continue its war in Ukraine, and also drone and other types of surveillance and important equipment to keep the war going. So the fact that Europeans are willing to overlook that, it just boggles my mind. And up until very recently, relations were rather cool with the Chinese. I had met with some Chinese officials, and they understood that this was happening. The Chinese, as you recall, came up with a diplomatic proposal to political proposal to end the war in Ukraine, and they were trying to position themselves as peacemakers. And the 10th point in the agreement was that they wanted to get contracts to help rebuild Ukraine. Now, I don't know how Russia would feel about a huge Chinese presence in Ukraine in the future, but that's another issue down the road. So the relationship has been rather tepid up until very recently. And so I would say the addition to that has put more strain on it is the Trump administration. No one had gamed this out that Trump would kind of embrace Russia and or Putin, I should say. But I think that was a bit of a shock for Europeans. So we're seeing where the pieces are falling. And I've never seen the transatlantic relationship at such a low point.
We have a minute, Teresa, so the question is general. The European Union, has anybody put a timeline on what it will take to develop its own industrial base for defense and at the same time stand independent of the U.S. entirely when it comes to its foreign policy? 5 years, 10 years? What's the thinking, if there is any? We have less than a minute.
Okay. I've seen 5 to 10 years. I think 10 years is probably far more realistic. But then there's the issues of the nuclear coverage. I mean, the U.S. provides nuclear guarantee through NATO, and it would be very difficult for the Europeans to come up with that. That's been something they've long talked about, but it's never really happened.
Theresa Fallon, she's in Brussels, which is the capital of the European Union, in addition to being the centerpiece for NATO. So it has two transnational organizations that are making plans for the future. She's director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.